Welcome to this second episode of our POPS, Power of Positive Speech, series. Today we're going to focus on the power, the strength, the capacity in our power of speech. What is the holiest day on the Jewish calendar? Most of us will agree that it is the day of Yom Kippur. If you think about Yom Kippur, there are many things that we don't do according to the Torah. Hashem gives us specific things that we stay away from on this holiest day of the year. But what is it that we are supposed to do? What is the mitzvah? What is the biblical calling that we have for Yom Kippur? It's actually the mitzvah of speech. If you take a look at the Rambam, Maimonides, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam points out that the mitzvah of tshuva, of renewal, of return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of tapping into our deep innermost self, is primarily focused on Yom Kippurim. Of course, it's great to pursue tshuva all year, but the primary date for tshuva is Yom Kippur. And the Rambam says the way to do tshuva is through vidui. A person needs to verbally articulate their reality. So why is it that on Yom Kippur we spend so much time speaking? The truth is that we can think about this question in a greater context. There is a beautiful Gemara in Maseches Nida. The Gemara describes that every child, before a child is brought into the world, there is a shvua, an oath. The Gemara Nida says in Daf Lamed Beis that there is an angel, that as the soul is entering into the world, as the child is being born, the angel makes this newborn baby take a shvua, an oath. It says, make sure to be a tzaddik. Make sure not to be a rasha. Why is it significant? What does it mean that the malach, the angel, has us swear as we enter the world that we should be a tzaddik and not a rasha? Why do we need to take that shvua? And the truth is that we now notice, when we are sensitive to the idea of the power of speech and the power of words, that shvuos, oaths, actually are very prominent in the Torah. When we look in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, when we find stories about Avraham and the other Avos, we notice that oath-taking is very significant. When Avraham sends his servant Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, what does he do? He has him swear. When Yosef, he commits to his father that he will bury Yaakov in the land of Israel, Yaakov demands that he take an oath. So why is that? What's the significance of these oaths? There is a beautiful explanation in Faith, in Flames of Faith, the magnificent work, The Introduction to Hasidic Thought by Rabbi Zev Reichman, who my teacher who lives in Englewood, New Jersey. He points out in the Sefer that oaths function in the Torah not just as guarantees of truth-telling. Rather, they give the oath-taker added strength to accomplish what may otherwise be too difficult. Avram trusted Eliezer and Yaakov trusted Yosef, yet the mission that each one of them respectfully was going to undertake was going to be difficult, and maybe they wouldn't have the inner capacity on their own, and therefore they had to dig to something deeper, to something stronger. The Maharal explains, Rabbi Yehuda Loh, in his commentary on Purim, on Or Chadash, that dibur, speech, it comes, it's yotze, it's yitzia min hatoch, it comes from the innermost part of the person. It gets to that deepest part of strength, that incredible superhuman place that a person can draw on, an enormous potential strength that is latent within us, that maybe only comes out in the case of absolute emergency. Rachmana Litzlan, a mother, might be able to dash through a burning building to rescue her child. That's that inner strength. Oath-taking, Rabbi Reichman explains, calls forth and dedicates every ounce of willpower and strength. If a person swears in Hashem's name that a statement is true, that person is committing his or her entire being to the fulfillment of these words. This is so strong. This is so powerful. The capacity of speech to create actually forges a new reality. And this is what it means when a person takes an oath, a shvua, or a neder, another kind of promise, that they actually create a new reality for themselves. If a person takes a shvua, they take an oath that they won't eat potato chips, they actually have a biblical injunction against eating potato chips. If a person looks at a bag of bisli and says, this bisli is prohibited to me like a korban, that person takes a neder, they take a promise not to restrain the bisli from themselves. It is literally a biblical restriction. It becomes an iser de oraisa. That act of just verbalizing the commitment, that transforms their whole relationship to the item. It actually creates a new reality for the person. That is just the power of words. It has the capacity to bring the whole person's strength from their deepest place to create a new reality. The Gemara describes in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Testament Beis that dibur is kamaisa. Speech, it's like action, because it creates a new reality. Like it says in the pasuk, bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu. Hashem created the world through speech. The Hilga Rebbe of Rav Rizhin, Rabbi Yisrael, used to say, don't say, well, you know, speech is just, it's just a modulation of air. It's not consequential. He used to point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God created mountains, which are strong and solid and fearsome. And yet, he created wind, which creates erosion. And this ethereal and intangible phenomenon called wind has the power to erode even a mighty mountain. It's the koach of dibur. Dibur, which has this incredible strength that creates a new reality. And maybe that's why the Rambam writes, Maimonides describes in Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Shvuos, that an oath, Shvuos are min hachamuros. They're from the most serious of all undertakings in spiritual life. And maybe this is why we focus so much on Yom Kippurim, on speech. Because on Yom Kippur, it's perhaps the one day in the year that we can really focus on making our relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves real. The way to take something seriously, the way to make it real, the way to create a reality is through speech. And therefore, when we want to address and redress those things that need fixing, we have to speak about it, because that's going to take it from an idea to a reality. It's going to take it from something that's abstract to something which is concrete. And maybe that's why we're going to start every year our Yom Kippur experience with Kol Nidre, with letting go of all of those vows, all of those promises, all of those commitments, those verbal realities that we need to let go of, and we need to do that through speech. And perhaps even on a higher level, it's almost like we're saying to Hashem, Hashem, if you created any realities through speech, if you made any declarations about us over the coming year, we're renewing ourselves and we're asking you to evaporate those words, to take that speech away, because otherwise the speech is reality. The power of speech is that it harnesses and unlocks our entire being, all of our potential. We spoke last episode about the human being as a ruach mamala. Now we see that that is what harnesses the entire force of the person. Brené Brown has a beautiful work. It's called Atlas of the Heart, where she talks about the power of words and the different emotions which are conveyed in different words. And she describes in the beginning how language is our portal to meaning-making, connection, healing, learning, and self-awareness. Having access to the right words can open up entire universes. When we don't have the language to talk about what we're experiencing, our ability to make sense of what's happening and share it with others is severely limited. Without accurate language, we struggle to get the help we need. We don't always regulate or manage our emotions and experiences in a way that allows us to move through them productively, and our self-awareness is diminished. Language shows us that naming an experience doesn't give the experience more power. It gives us the power of understanding and meaning. It brings out, as the Maharal explains, it brings out our toch. It is the yetziah el hapoel shel hatoch, the pnimius, the inner world of the person. And that inner world which is connected to Hashem is an inner world which is endless. The same way that the soul is the spark of the endless light of Hashem, so then that power of speech that draws on that nishmas chayim has the power to build and create worlds. Through the speech of a shvua, of a commitment, of verbalizing, we can create even that world of Avraham and Eliezer, that world of Yaakov for Yosef. We can create the worlds for ourselves. That's what creates the worlds with others, through that vidui, through asking another person, through explaining to them, through mending relationships through words, and ultimately to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov points out that sometimes a person finds that it's difficult to talk to Hashem. It's difficult to find those words, but we need to realize that those words are really within us and that we are ready to use our speech to break through and create that connection to Hashem from our inner self. It's almost like the words are waiting within us. As Rav Kook explained, we have this reservoir of koach, of power, that when we put it into words, when we speak words of tefillah or words of just having a conversation with Hashem, we're bringing out that inner strength and we're creating this new spiritual reality for ourselves. This is the power of speech, and we have this gift. Our next step for the next episode is to realize how this capacity for speech actually can create life for those around us. I look forward to joining you next time.